17. When Ellen was 3 years old, she'd fallen into the fountain in the back garden. Their nanny, the latest in a string that failed to satisfy their mother, although in this case that seemed justified, had been far across the lawn on a wrought iron bench, talking on her mobile phone. Ellen climbed onto the concrete rim of the fountain, grinned at Caro, and slipped. Caro, 5, screamed, "Nanny!" but hadn't waited for any response. She threw herself into the fountain. Ellen lay face down. Caro tried to pull her sister upright, but Ellen was weighted down by her rapidly soaking jacket and pink leather boots. Then Nanny grabbed Ellen and was shaking her. "Breathe, damn it, breathe!" Caro had hauled herself out of the water and, shivering, snatched up the cell that Nanny had flung onto the frosty grass. She'd poked 911 and said clearly, "My sister is drowning. Come right away." Medics had arrived within minutes, but Ellen had already begun to breathe, spewing water and puke before she began to cry. The medics did things to Ellen, and before they were finished, Mama had come home, her high heels making little round dents in the grass. The grown-ups had all spoken angrily to each other, and afterward, Nanny had been replaced by another woman also named Nanny. But not before Mama had spanked Caro hard. "You embarrassed me in front of those men. Don't you ever do that again." "But Ellen." "Ellen was fine. Nanny had already pulled her out of the fountain and got her breathing. You called 911 just to embarrass this family, and I won't have it, Caroline. Everyone on the street saw the completely unnecessary medics arrive, and now they think I hire people unfit to supervise my children. Did you push your sister into that fountain?"
"No, she fell, and Nanny was—"
"No more lies. You've lied to me before, so how do I know you're not lying again? Are you so jealous of your little sister that you do that terrible thing?"
"I'm not lying," Caro shouted. "Ellen fell. I'll call 911 again, I will."
Her mother's face turned red. She grabbed Caro and shook her. Caro screamed, "Daddy!" But he didn't come. He never did. She screamed instead at her mother,
"I hate you! I hate you!"
Afterward, when Caro could not sit down for pain, Ellen brought her toys, stroked her face, cried the tears for her that Caro could not cry for herself. "I won't cry," she told herself fiercely. "I won't." Ellen curled against her, and Caro held on to her little sister. Caro's throat felt thick. Her face wouldn't move right, and it was hard to breathe.
"I'm drowning," she thought,
but she couldn't be. There was no water. She clutched Ellen more fiercely than before. Caro thought of this memory as Weigert scribbled on the whiteboard in the Wing 3 conference room. "No water. But there are many ways to drown." The session hadn't started out that way. Caro had come prepared. "George, I've read your summary of the theory behind the project, and I have 3 questions I hope we can discuss."
"Excellent."
He stood at the whiteboard, a marker in his hand.
"Go ahead."
"First, I want to know why you think that quantum level effects, collapsing the wave and so forth, apply to the macro world of tables and planets. Second, if tables and planets exist only in my consciousness, I want evidence, not just theory, about why I see the same tables you do. And third, Barbara spoke to me about time. But what is the science behind the idea that time only exists in our head? And fourth," she smiled at him, "I want real science, but I don't want to be here for 16 hours.
"Well, yes, that's quite a tall order."
"I know, but can you give me just enough real science that I have a framework to read more with some understanding, even though I don't have the math?" Weigert looked thoughtful, nodded, paused, looked even more thoughtful. Caro could almost see waves of thought collapsing all over his brain as he sorted through ideas. Finally, he began.
Your first and second questions are so closely related that I have to address them together. You want hard evidence that quantum-level phenomena apply to your macro-level perceptions. First, of course, you remember that when you see a table or a planet, all you really receive is the information supplied by your senses?
Yes, and algorithms in my brain use that information to create the table.
Good. The universe is made up of energy, in the form of particles and waves, which are actually the same thing. Energy and matter, convertible into each other. E equals mc squared, you know, Einstein.
He swiveled to face Caro, who said, yes, because clearly she was supposed to say something. It seemed to satisfy him.
Let me back up to reference experiments that prove our main point, Caroline, which is that the universe is an unformed quantum blur until it is observed by consciousness. We've known for a very long time from mathematically backed, verified, replicated experiments that subatomic particles have both wave and particle natures, and that until an observer collapses the wave by the simple act of observation, the so-called particle is just a superimposed blur, neither particle nor wave. Experiments also show that when scientists watch a particle pass through two slits in a barrier, the particle behaves like a bullet and goes through one hole or the other. However, if you do not watch, it acts like a wave and can go through both holes at the same time. But how can a particle out there change its behavior depending on whether you watch it or not? Only if reality is a process that involves our consciousness. Now, if we shoot that electron toward a phosphor-coated screen, its arrival will be marked by a glowing dot. However, first, bounce the electron off a kind of mirror so that it can arrive at the detector by taking either of two paths, path A or path B. He sketched this rapidly on the whiteboard. We also set up detectors on both paths, but something very unexpected happens. The electron has not taken path A or path B, nor has it divided itself to take both paths. Nor has it arrived at the screen by taking neither path. Somehow, it has avoided our setup entirely.
Weigert turned to look at Caro, clearly expecting a reaction. She nodded. So far, his explanation seemed clear.
Pleased, he continued. That happened because the electron is in a state of superimposition, free to exercise all possibilities. It can become a wave or a particle. It can take any possible path, including going from A to B by way of the Andromeda Galaxy. Granted, that's not a probable path, but it is possible. Consciousness, in the form of an observer, will determine the outcome. So it is with all other particles. And remember, a particle is just a packet of energy, a quantum. Look at this basic concept from another angle. Heisenberg's uncertainty principle, which says that the position and the velocity of an object cannot both be measured exactly at the same time. If there really were a world out there with particles just bouncing around, then we should be able to measure all their properties. But we cannot. For instance, a particle's exact location and momentum cannot be known at the same time. But why should it matter to a particle what you decide to measure? Again, the answer is that the particles are not just out there. Observation defines them.
Caro said, I'm with you, on the micro level, but not the macro level. Stars, rocks, this table, they're here, whether or not consciousness is.
Are you sure of that?
Yes.
How?
Listen, Caroline, Weigert said, turning from the whiteboard to lean with both gnarly hands on the supposedly non-existent table.
You've agreed that we only know the information that our senses perceive. You see this table only because photons reflected off it enter your eyes. You feel it only because your fingers send electrochemical signals of sensation along your nerves to your brain, signals that you interpret as table. Can you grant me that much?
Yes, Caro said. But you and Julian and everybody else makes the same interpretation, which argues that this particular section of collapsed quantum foam is a solid macro-level table. Everyone in the compound can verify that.
Weigert's face glowed. Precisely. Everyone in the compound will say this is a table because so many other people have already said it. This next bit is a little technical, but necessary. When observers look, their consciousness becomes entangled with the system, part of the wave function, because everything is entangled with everything else. When you then look at that observer, you become part of the same decohered universe. There is a growing body of research showing that multiple observers who exchange information about the decoherence of a wave cause the wave function to concentrate around an actual physical entity with actual physical characteristics. The research involves varying numbers of observations made by varying numbers of observers. The details are in the folder I sent you. Read the experiments I describe, including the one recently carried out at Harvard. It involves multiple observers, leading to an effective increase of dimensionality of the space-time in which the physical system resides. In the presence of a large number of observers who probe space-time just by existing in it, quantum gravity in four space-time dimensions becomes the same as quantum gravity in four through two, or just two space-time dimensions. No, you don't need to understand that. Just this result. Consciousness does not simply observe the universe. We create it. And we do so not just singly, but collectively. And as scientists explore this new line of research, it's becoming increasingly clear how intimately we are all connected with the structure of the universe on every level, including connections with each other. Caro said, I tried to read that Harvard experiment. I'll try again. But George, it involves subatomic particles. You're still at the micro level. Why should I believe that those same phenomena of observation create the macro level world? Tables, rocks, stars. Weigert erased the whiteboard. Let's start with entanglement. If two particles are entangled, and if you do something to one, measure it in some way, then the other is affected even if they're far apart. Math and experiments both back that up. No, I won't inflict equations on you, unless, of course, you want them. He looked at her hopefully. Caro shook her head. She was growing genuinely fond of Weigert. Not just his kindness, but his genuine, almost childlike enthusiasm for his subject, including how much he wanted her to understand it. None of those admirable traits, however, would help her with complex equations. She hoped to just understand the basics of his theory. All right, the equations are in your folder. So is the fascinating experiment in which Chinese researchers found that entangled particles, 10 miles apart, 10 miles, think of it, exchanged information 10,000 times faster than the speed of light, which was the limit of their testing abilities. But essentially, the communication between the entangled particles was instantaneous, confirming that quantum effects take place even on scales larger than the subatomic. The particles were linked. This is important, Caroline. In a manner suggesting there was no space between them, and no time influencing their behavior. and there is a growing number of experiments in which even larger objects in the macro world have been entangled. Strong proof that the principles of observation that apply to the quantum world also operate at a macro level. Macro level objects have been entangled? Like what?
A few examples. First, an international team successfully entangled a pair of 3 millimeter wide diamonds, big enough to be those tiny earrings that people wear on their earlobes. Anton Zeilinger and his colleagues at the University of Vienna sent huge molecules called buckyballs through a diffraction grating, and a detector beyond the grating showed the clear interference pattern of wave-like behavior. Scientists at Delft have entangled small oscillators 8 inches apart, oscillators made of 10 to the 10 atoms. Another study, conducted at the University of Vienna, tested a gargantuan compound composed of about 5,000 protons, 5,000 neutrons, and 5,000 electrons. When they watched these giant molecules pass through slits in a barrier, the molecules behaved like little bullets and went through one slit or another. But if they did not watch, the molecules behaved in a wave-like fashion and went through more than one slit at the same time. In other words, they behaved like subatomic particles, even though they were thousands of times larger. Quantum effects even play a role in how living things work. In 2017, researchers at Oxford successfully entangled bacteria with photons. Do you understand the significance of that, Caroline? Science has carried the bizarre activity of the quantum world right into the macroscopic and biological world, our world. More and more scientists are coming to agree that the quantum and macro worlds are not distinct. Surprise kept Caro silent. If macro-level objects could be entangled, if mere observation could affect things as big as stud earrings? Weigert said, "Now, your question about time." "Wait," Caro said. Her head felt like a disco ball, spinning with conflicting ideas she needed time to sort out. "I am drowning." "George, can we put off tackling the question of time? I really need to think about all this."
"Of course," Weigert said.
And then, with one of the mischievous smiles that always surprised her,
"Take all the time you want."